All right. Ready to pray? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful morning. Thank you, Father, for our wonderful church family. Thank you for surrounding us, God, with people who love you, who are encouraging, and who are willing to pray for us. And I thank you that you hear us, God, when we call. And I thank you that you are working, not only just working things out for your glory, but we know working things out for our good. And we're so thankful for that. And Father, we want to continue to pray this morning. And we pray that you'll bless Bonnie this morning. We pray that you would, Father, that you would heal whatever's taking place with her heart. And we pray that she'll get good news. And even more than that, Father, we pray that you will deliver her from fear. Help her to just make the decision, God, in her heart and mind, to trust you and to lay this care at your feet. And remind her, Lord, please, that you care for her and that you're working things out. Please, Lord, give her peace. And Father, we want to pray for Danny Williams. Father, we pray that you'll heal his body of the cancer. Please make a way for him and provide everything that he needs. And please comfort him and his family. Help them, Lord, to trust you and not be afraid. And Lord, I want to pray for each person in here. God, I know you're here and you're listening and you know who's here in the room with us. And I just pray, God, you'll meet our unspoken needs. Each of us every day, Father, we fight some sort of battle. We face some sort of temptation. We're all working on overcoming, Lord, and I pray that your strength, Lord, would overrule our weakness. And I pray you will work, God, in ways that we may not even understand to meet our most urgent needs. And even now, as we're thinking about it, God, I pray you'll meet those needs. Father, we thank you for the good news about Derek. Father, thank you for his numbers being excellent. And we pray, Father, you will continue to bless him and his health and his family's health. And we pray, Lord, that indeed his bone density will be in a place where he finally come off the steroids. And we just thank you, Lord, for carrying him through so much. Amen, Israel. Please continue to bless them. Father, we want to pray for Isabel. We pray you bless her travels. Please keep her safe. And Lord, we want to pray for little Silas. Pray, Father, your hand to be on that little baby. Please, Father, bless his health. Please help him to grow and be strengthened. Please bless mom and dad. And again, Lord, I pray you'll give them peace about things. Help them to trust you. Lord, we thank you that Millie is eating again. Thank you for providing for her. And we pray, Lord, you'll bless her rehab. Please continue to strengthen her. And we do pray, Lord, that she'll be able to leave rehab and get back to her normal life. And Father, please continue to bless Terry and Renee. Please continue, God, to comfort them. You are the God of all comfort. And we know, God, that doesn't mean that there won't be pain, God, but I pray that you'll help Terry and Renee just to continue to roll their pain over to you. As it ebbs and flows, Lord, help them to just keep looking up. Help them to keep looking up. God, we know you're in control. We know, God, you are good. And I'm so grateful, God, that you love us. I'm so grateful, God, that you hear our prayers. We couldn't make it. We couldn't make it without you, Father. Thank you so much. And I'm thankful, God, for a place to gather and worship, to gather and hear the Word of God preached, and to study it together. Please, Lord, bless this time now as we read and study together. Please teach us the truth. Please help us grow in our faith. And as that happens, God, we're going to give you all the glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, please open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 and 10. You remember, last week we talked about trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not on your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledging God. Is Jesus Christ Lord of everything, every part of your life? Everything's His business, right? Everybody agree with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I want to get that out of the way now so I can tell you that you already agreed with that. That was a setup. Well, let's read Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. The Bible says, "Honor the Lord with your possessions, and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. So, today we're going to talk about your money. Your two mites. So we're going to have a talk about tithing. Boy, tithing is an intense subject. If you get into studying it, there's a lot to be said, and from lots of different angles, and people debate about everything now. It's really crazy. But you know what I found? I found that people who want to debate about things, they're looking for loopholes. That's what I found. Because I think they're trying to justify themselves, especially when it comes to a subject like this. But I want to give the background about tithing and see if we can make it the connection to today, okay? Because the truth is, I'll just throw this out there right now, that in the New Testament, there is no command that you have to tithe, right? It doesn't say, give 10%. But I think, I'm hoping and I'm praying that we can make the connection to, of all people, Father Abraham. I think we're going to make the connection to and see that the principle still applies. That's all I'm trying to say. So we see it here with Solomon, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Let's go back and talk about tithing. If you read anything about tithing, there's several different camps out there. Most people believe, and we're going to go through the scriptures because I just want you to know this and see this for yourself, because then you can get a grasp of it. Okay, but most people believe that the Jews were commanded to tithe 23 1/3%. Under the law, they tithe 23 1/3%. Okay, and I'm going to show you. Like I said, there's no law about tithing in the New Testament. There was law about tithing in the Old Testament. Let's see what they had to do. So first, there was God's tithe. God's tithe was the first 10% of the increase. Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 to 32. It's the very end of the book. Alright, Leviticus 27:30-32 says, and all the tithe of the land, and the word tithe simply means tenth, all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add 1/5 to it. Okay, so instead of giving the food, you could give money, but if you were going to do that, you had to add 20% to give the money instead of the food, okay? To redeem it. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithes, he shall add 1/5 to it. And concerning the tithe of the herd or of the flock, of whatever passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. So you have 10 calves, 10 lambs, whatever, one of 10 that belongs to the Lord. So it says, and the reason we're reading that, it says right there, the first tenth is the Lord's. And there is quite a bit of discussion about tithing only being food, okay? And then that only the farmers would tithe, but I don't believe that that's true. We see, again, we got to tie this together with Proverbs, okay? That Solomon says, honor the Lord with your possessions and the first fruits of all your increase. In their mind, the first fruits would mean what? The first tenth. Because that was a command. The first tenth of all your increase under the law was the Lord's. So that's the first tithe. Is everybody okay with that? Now this was the first tenth was the Lord's. What did they do with it? Well, they took it to the temple, and that was given to the Levites who served at the temple. It was given for the work of the house of the Lord. Okay, I'll read it. The book of Numbers. Go to chapter 18. What did they do with the tithe? Let's see. Numbers 18, and we're at verse 21. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they performed, the work of the tabernacle of meeting. Hereafter, the children of Israel shall not come near the tabernacle of meeting, lest they bear sin and die. But the Levites shall perform the work of the tabernacle of meeting, and they shall bear their iniquity. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations, that among the children of Israel they shall have no inheritance. For the tithes of the children of Israel, which they offer up as a heave offering to the Lord, I have given to the Levites as an inheritance. So there's a lot of history here, but when they came out of Egypt, remember God spared the firstborn of the house if the blood was on the doorpost? And then when they got out, God said, okay, in place of the firstborn that should have died, but I spared by the blood of the Lamb, in place of them, I'm taking the Levites. They're not getting an inheritance in the land of Israel. They're going to serve at the temple. And how they're provided for is the tithes of everybody else. So the tithes of the land were given to the Levites who served at the temple. What are Levites? They're from the tribe of Levi. They didn't get their own spot in Israel. They lived in everybody else's spots, and they served at the temple. And Levites, their job was to assist the priests who only came from the lineage of Aaron. Aaron was a Levite. He was the first priest, and only his descendants were priests, were to be priests after him. The Levites, let's keep reading here in Numbers 18. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I'm at verse 26, speak thus to the Levites and say to them, when you take from the children of Israel the tithes which I have given you from them as your inheritance, then you shall offer up a heave offering of it to the Lord, a tenth of the tithe. So the Levites are going to pay tithes. Who do they give their tithes to? Verse 28 says, thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. So the tithes of the land went to the Levites tithed from the tithe to support the priests. Is everybody doing okay? Can make a note if you would like. 1 Chronicles 23, verse 27 and 28 lay out the fact that the Levites' job is to serve the priests. Just some more information for you. It's kind of like they're the Old Testament deacons.
Not with a Catholic priest, it's different. I know, but...
Yeah.
Better to hear from you.
Well, priests, yes. Priests was a thing.
Okay.
Priests was a thing. The Catholics have really mangled it. Because there is no priesthood like that anymore. The Bible says all believers are the priesthood. We're all kings and priests, the New Testament teaches us in Jesus Christ, because we all can go to God ourselves, see? The priest back then, he would take the sacrifice into the Holy of Holies, right, to get forgiveness for the people. But we go to God ourselves through Jesus Christ. That's why we're all priests, and we all have an inheritance in Jesus Christ. We're all kings. That's what it means, kings and priests. So yeah, all of that is done away with. Just like someone would say, well, see, all the tithes are done away with too. But there's scripture in Malachi. There's scripture in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. You probably know this very well. Well, it says where God says, you've been robbing me, and thus you're cursed. And they say, how have we been robbing you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. See how God has set this up, this law like this? They had stopped doing that. Stop supporting the Levites, stop supporting the priests, and God says, you're robbing me, because they weren't paying, giving their tithes to the work of the temple. 1 Chronicles 23, 27, 28, for by the last words of David, the Levites were numbered from 20 years old and above, because their duty was to help the sons of Aaron in the service of the house of the Lord. That tells you what the Levites' job was, that's why I put that in there. Malachi 3, 8 through 12, Now, what you find here, I just want to say these things because it's out there. And if you guys ever look into this stuff, you're going to come across this. People use these verses in Malachi 3 to really try to guilt people into giving more money. I don't think that God is cursing people, okay, if they don't give their tithes. But when we make these principles clear here in a minute, okay, I do believe it is an act of obedience. And you do forfeit the blessing that comes from being faithful. That's all I'm trying to say. And I also don't believe that if you give your tithes and more, that God's going to make you healthy, wealthy, and wise. Right? But he does bless your faithfulness. And it's a promise. And it's just like every other area of your life. If you trust him with it, he will bless it. That's the point. When we come to Jesus Christ in repentance and faith, we're free from the curse. Okay? I don't think he's cursing people, but I do think that people forfeit the blessing that God wants to give them if they would trust him with their money. That's what I'm trying to say. So I just want to throw that out there. I don't think that can be used to pound people on the head.
Corey, is this...
It's all his anyway.
Is this the biblical basis for what this church does of donating 10% of their tithes?
We donate tithe, yep. So the church collects tithes, and we tithe to the denomination. The church pays tithes, yep. Yes.
Is that the basis for them?
Yes. Yes. Because we are trusting God, the church is trusting God with the money that's been entrusted to them. It's the same idea. And you see that it goes all the way up. Yes.
Unified giving.
Unified giving, thank you. Unified giving is what we tithe to for the denomination. And that supports missionaries. They use that money to support missionaries around the world. So it's good. Yes, but people, televangelists, pounding people on the head saying they're cursed. And they need to send in $1,000 right now. That stuff's ridiculous. Here's what I know. If you're going to follow Christ closely, it'll come from your heart. It'll come from your heart. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, too. Okay, spent way too much time on the first tithe. That's only one tithe. There's a second tithe. Now, again, there's debate about this. This could be the same tithe. It could be the second one. But most people, when you study, they go with the 23 and a third. Here's the second tithe. Is the feast tithe, is Deuteronomy 14. Deuteronomy 14, verse 22. They believe this is a second tithe because it's got a different description of how it's used. Deuteronomy 14, 22 says, "You shall truly tithe all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year, and you shall eat before the Lord your God." See, this is why they think it's different. Because now it's not just given to the Levites. The person who's bringing the tithe takes part in it too. Okay, let's keep reading. "You shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide," which would be the temple, right, for these guys. "The tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. But if the journey is too long for you, so that you are not able to carry the tithe, or if the place where the Lord your God chooses to put his name is too far from you, when the Lord your God has blessed you," aha, when the Lord your God has blessed you, "then you shall exchange it for money, take the money in your hand, and go to the place which the Lord your God chooses, and you shall spend that money there for whatever your heart desires, for ox and sheep and wine and similar drink. For whatever your heart desires, you shall eat there before the Lord your God, and you shall rejoice, you and your household. You shall not forsake the Levite who is within your gates, for he has no part nor inheritance with you." So this, as described as a second tithe, is shared with the Levites, but really it's for the your family. Your family takes the trip to the temple to have a feast and to worship together. So the first tithe was God's. The second tithe is for the family. Does that make sense? For the good of the family. It'll hopefully make sense pretty soon here.
Potluck dinner like we
had. Potluck dinner, yep. And if it was too far, you wouldn't have to... You'll carry your, bring your ox and walk your ox and carry all your stuff. You could just, you know, put it on the debit card, and then you could hightail it out of town, get to Israel, and then use the debit card to buy everything there so that you could have your feast. Okay, the third tithe. We're right there, same spot. Let's keep reading. Verse 28. "At the end of every third year," this is why it's three and a third. Okay? "At the end of every third year, you shall bring out the tithe of your produce of that year and store it up within your gates. And the Levite, because he has no portion or inheritance with you, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are within your gates may come and eat and be satisfied, that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hand which you do." So who's this third tithe for?
Poor.
For the poor.
Every 3 years.
So it would be three and a third. That's where they get the 23 and a third percent when they describe these three things. And this wasn't taken to the temple. This was collected in your city for the poor in your city so that their needs could be met. And you could see how if everybody was doing that in their city, they would take care of the people in their city. Okay. Now again, not everybody agrees on that exactly, but I don't want to argue about it. That's fine. Some people think it describes one tithe, it describes two tithes, whatever. But I do like the principles that are there. You mind if I say it like this? Your first 10% of your income should go to God. Your second 10% should be saved for the needs of your family. Not spent, but saved. And if you are faithful that way, giving to God, giving to yourself, saving for your family, I do believe that you'll be blessed in such a way that you'll have enough and to spare to meet extra needs that come that God brings across your path. The first fruits are for God. You have the command in Timothy that if a man doesn't care for his household, he's worse than an unbeliever. You need to take care of your family, and you're not to ignore the poor. You're not to ignore the poor. And yet, yes, our church helps, right, with the poor, but that doesn't exclude you. You see, that's why there's this third fraction, because you're not excluded from helping the poor yourself. Too many people get the idea, well, I pay taxes and I give to my church, I am helping the poor. And they want to pull themselves out of the equation, but that's not how this works. You still have a responsibility to help the poor when God presents you with the opportunity. Now, you don't have to help the poor in such a way that you can't take care of your family. That doesn't make any sense. That helps nobody. But you take care, you give the first 10% to God, take care of your family, and then and help people when you can. All right. Everybody good? Now, how does this tie to us? Well, the first tithe we talked about, the 10% that belongs to the Lord, that was something that was taking place long before the law was ever introduced. And that's where we, where Father Abraham comes in, right? Pastor was talking about him this morning. He's the father of the faith, the example that he set for us, right? So let's take a look. Genesis chapter 14. We go way back. Genesis 14, verse 18. So cool. Yeah, so cool. I've been excited about this part. Okay, so this is Lot. You know, he lived in Sodom. And the people there are exceedingly wicked. You know, they end up being destroyed. Well, it happened that there was a war, and Lot and his family and his people from his city got taken captive in the war. Abraham heard about it, and Abraham went and rescued Lot and everybody. Abraham had trained warriors that he had raised up in his family. And they went and rescued Lot. And then when they came back from the battle, they brought back all the people. They brought back all the goods. Okay? And this is where we're at. And right here, when he gets back from the battle, Abraham runs into a guy with a funny name.
Melchizedek.
Verse 18, here we go. Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And look what it says at the end of verse 20. Abram gave him a tithe of all. Melchizedek came out and blessed Abram after the battle, and Abram gave him a tithe of all. They had a little church service because Melchizedek brought out bread and wine. You know what that is, right? These guys had communion. They had communion. He brought out bread and wine, and they remembered the body and blood of their Savior, who was going to come and die for their sins.
Well, they did that before.
They did that before!
Okay.
My whole head is buzzing right now with the goosebumps. Because the gospel was preached to them and practiced to them in the Old Testament the same as it is us. The priest of God Most High brought out bread and wine, and they had communion. Melchizedek prayed for Abram. They worshiped God. Blessed be God Most High.
What faith?
And Abram gave his tithes to Melchizedek. So cool. Okay, now, what people want to argue, and again, when people argue, I think they're looking for loopholes. Some want to argue that, well, he only tithed the spoils of war. So, next time you go to war and you get spoils, you go ahead and tithe those. What are they talking about? What he tithed was the first fruits of his increase. Right? He came back from the battle with the spoils of war, which was his
increase.
Okay. And he tithed the first fruits of his increase. That's the same thing Solomon said in Proverbs 3.
What does that look like today, Pastor Ford?
Your paycheck.
Like we get a raise?
When you get an increase. No, not just when you get a raise. You'll never pay tithes. We just wait for your raise.
Okay.
No. Anytime you get a dollar into your house, you've increased.
Increase.
Right?
Yep.
anything more than what you had.
Anything. And when you get increase, the first fruits belong to God.
10%.
10%. That's what the tithe is. Now, there's a connection here to us, because in the New Testament, we're taught that Melchizedek is a picture of who?
Jesus.
Jesus Christ. Okay, go to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. Susan's excited.
No. I was waiting for you to get there. Okay.
No. We got it. Well, we have to. Yeah.
Yes, yeah, I've been very good today.
Yes. Thank you for that. We got to lay the foundation.
I get it.
We're working on it. I want everybody to understand. All right, Hebrews chapter 7, verses 1 through 4. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, right? We're the same guy, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him. By the way, Abraham slaughtered the kings. And guess what? God blessed him. Just so you know that the Lord is a man of war. Don't ever let anybody tell you that God is a pacifist. When it's time, God will smite thee if he is so moved. Right? Yeah, so Abraham comes back from rescuing. Now, he didn't go attack people. This was self-defense. His family was kidnapped. He went and rescued his family. And when he got back, God blessed him for it. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about that today. He met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being translated king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. See, what he's saying is the Melchizedek and Abraham giving him tithes and all that had nothing to do with the law. Had nothing to do with, you know, your father had to be Aaron. You had to be in the line of Aaron to be a priest and nothing like that. This guy comes out of nowhere. This guy comes out of nowhere to be a blessing to Abraham. It's a picture of Jesus Christ, who is God in the flesh. You know, Mary wasn't really the mother of God, right? She didn't birth God.
Right.
Mary was a child of God. Anyway, I didn't want to talk about that either. Made like the Son of God, remains a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, those who are of the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law, that is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So Melchizedek is a picture of Jesus Christ. Abraham is a picture of us as believers. And he was blessed by Melchizedek, and he gave him a tithe of all. Do you see? This is how tithing works, okay? This is how tithing works. You receive a spiritual blessing, okay, and you return a material blessing. Does that make sense? Everybody, let's read some scriptures. I gotta keep moving, or I'm gonna run out of time. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, so you can see now we're in the New Testament. We're talking about how the tithes are used, what they're for, why we do it. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 9. Ooh, I put a lot of verses on here. I can't read all those. You should read 1 through 14, but we're just gonna read verse 14, okay? You should read that whole section. Well, let's read verse 11, and then we'll read verse 14. Just those two. So Paul says in verse 11, if we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? Well, what's more important?
The spiritual
things, right? So you have Paul traveling, giving spiritual blessings. Is it a big deal if he's supported by your material blessing? That's what he's saying. It's not a big deal. Now, he's defending himself here because of all kinds of stuff going on, and he didn't take money from this church. Because of everything going on. But he's saying he could have. He had the right to, because he was giving them spiritual blessings. Okay? Verse 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. Well, if that's the command of the Lord, how does that happen? If the command of the Lord is those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel, tell me, how does that happen? They give. The people receiving the spiritual blessings give the material blessings. Right? Where does that come from? That comes from the first fruits of your increase. We have a pastor here who preaches the word faithfully. He ministers to us in prayer. He's a full-time pastor, right? And he should be provided for the same way any other full-time worker is provided for. He has a wife and kids and grandkids. He's got health he's trying to maintain, right? So all these things need to be provided for. That's biblical. That's totally biblical. Is it wrong of us to meet in a building? These people that argue stuff are crazy. But I'll tell you this, didn't the Jews meet in a building? Where did they meet? They met in the temple. Now, let me ask you this. Where did they get the funds to build the temple? Got it from the people. Was it a waste of money? God's the one that gave them the instructions to build the temple. Was that a waste of money? Obviously not. God told them to do it. Same idea. Same idea. We're using this facility for the purpose of the spiritual blessings that we're all providing for. It makes total sense. Now, should we build this place out of gold?
Got it.
That would be ridiculous, right? But God is providing for our needs. When the collection was done for the temple, I want you to see the words of David. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 10. Therefore David blessed the Lord before all the assembly, and David said, "Blessed are you, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever. Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory." Does that sound familiar? What's that sound like?
The Lord's Prayer.
Yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power, and the glory, the victory, and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord. And you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you, and you reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. But who am I and who are my people that we should be able to offer so willingly as this? For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you. When you get a paycheck, you have to understand where that paycheck came from. God is the one who gave you the paycheck. So when you give back to him, you have to understand you're only giving back to him what's already his that he gave to you. Of your own, we've given back to you, Lord. And it's your way of showing that he is Lord of all of your life. And I trust him with my finances. I understand that everything I have comes from him. And so I give the first fruits of all my increase back to him. Yes?
When John and I first started coming, I came back to church and John was just newly got saved. John was real hungry. He was always asking me, "What do we do now? What do we do now?" So one day I said to him, "Do you know we have to start tithing?" And he said, "What does that mean?" And I said, "It's a tenth of our income." And he started screaming. He said, "You know how much money that is?" He was really against it. And I said, "Well, you know what? This is why I look at it. I cheated God out of 22 years of my life, and I don't find I do it anymore. So I'm going to tithe with my money, and when you're ready." Because I knew he was a new Christian.
And you had to obey your husband.
Right. And I said, I'm going to tithe with my money, and when you're ready. It was a month or two, and someone gave a testimony in Sunday school. And he came home, he said, "I'm going to start."
In the beginning of Melissa and I's marriage and our walk with the Lord, we were having so many financial struggles, and we weren't paying tithes. And one day I had enough, and I don't recommend doing this unless the Lord puts it on your heart, but I was so sick of it, I wrote my whole check that week to the church. I gave my whole check. I said, "God, I'm done trying to do this myself. I'm messing it up." And that was my day. I put my foot down. I gave my whole check, and we tithe and gave more than that ever since, and I've never had a problem. I'm not promising you riches and wealth. I don't have that, but I'm not having the trouble I was before, because I started trusting that God could provide for me.
And he always meets your needs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Once you start, you think, "Oh gosh, I'm going to be short this week, but I'm still going to tithe."
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, your money—it's just like this little miracle happens.
Yes.
And
yes.
Your checkbook expands.
Yes.
Without you even knowing.
So many people can give that testimony to those things. Yeah. So many people can give testimony to those things. God provides. Can we all just say amen? God provides.
God provides.
Always.
If
I could say, wasn't that about the time when they had that?
Yes. Yeah. The whole story is then there was an ammonia spill right behind our house at the farming place.
Yes.
We had 20-some evergreen trees in our yard. We were broke. I gave my check to the church. We were broke. We had 23 evergreen trees in our yard that died. The insurance guy from that company came to offer us a settlement for all the stuff that was killed in our yard. And it was like a year's wages. Thank you for reminding me of that. We could keep going. We could keep going.
Well, don't hurry.
Don't hurry?
No.
Shane, what's for next week?
You still want to talk about your money next week?
There's more to talk about.
Well, here, okay, write this down. Write this down. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8 says, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. That's a promise from God. 2 Corinthians 9:6 through 8. And then it says, God loves a cheerful giver. We don't do this. See, that's the verse that we use to say we don't do this under compulsion. We don't do this out of, I can't remember what the other word is.
Guilt.
Yeah, you're not guilting people into giving. God loves a cheerful giver. And there is also the promise there that if you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. I did a quick search this week about tithing statistics, and I found that, just a real quick search, I didn't get too deep into it, but I found that 5% of churchgoers give at least 10%. 5%.
Oh my gosh.
5%. I found that the average gift given to a church in a week is $17. That's $884 for the year. That's the average. That's the average. Now, then we give out reports annually for our church. We're above that. We're like double that. So that's really good. Yeah,
you are our church.
Our church. Our church is above that. Our church is doing better than that, than the average. So that's really good. But just throwing this out there, we're not at 10%. I'm sure of that. But we're doing better than the average. And I wanted to throw this out there. I've heard people say, I heard a pastor say this, that God loves a cheerful giver, and if your heart's not in it, don't give. And that's wrong advice. Because the Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. You don't feel like it. You give anyway. And you lead yourself.
Obey.
You obey. Obedience is better. Okay, you do that first. That bad advice that guy gave, I was mad when I heard it on the radio. Because here's the thing, God doesn't need our money. God doesn't need anything from us. He wants us to trust Him. And that's what this shows, that we trust Him with our finances. And the promise is sure. Your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. That promise is all through Scripture. If you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. Given, it will be given. Pressed down, shaken together. Yep. And the last one I wrote down, Paul said he was praising the church at Philippi for sending a gift to him for his needs. And he said, I'm thankful to God for your gift. And he says this. He says, not that I seek the gift. I don't want your money. But he said, I want you to be blessed. I want you to get the fruit that comes from your giving. That's Philippians chapter 4, 16 through 19. And then the next verse he says, and my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory. So beautiful. All right, we'll be done with that. Write this down too. Proverbs 11, 24 and 25. There is one who scatters, yet increases more. There is one who withholds more than is right, and it leads to poverty. The generous soul will be made rich, and he who waters will also be watered himself. Promises all through the Scripture. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you again for an awesome time in your Word. And we're so thankful, God, for your promises to us. And see, we know that your promises are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. These promises are for those who will believe them. And I thank you, Father, for providing for us. And I thank you that we can trust you with every area of our life and receive a blessing from your hand in return. God, you have been good to us, and we thank you. Please continue to bless this day. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys so much.